This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hello and welcome to Life and Faith. I'm Hugh Clark and my guest for this series is Empire Magazine's reviews editor, Ben McKechnie. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
We've been talking about the films that over the past year have been the most successful. I thought I might ask you about King's Speech because I know that
about time.
Apart from winning so many Oscars, it is up there as maybe your favourite film from last year.
Yeah, it's up there alongside Toy Story 3. I thought the both of them were very close to a complete film experience, which sounds dreadfully like a film reviewer trying to find words to describe that's going to get on a poster. I really enjoyed King's Speech. I got to see it a couple of months before it came out, and I carried on about it for so long, mainly because I think in all departments, so everything from the acting to the directing to the look of it, the story, everything was just on the money. And again, if you start listing off what that film actually contains within it, which does sound like a checklist for possible Oscars, which it went on to do, but everything from someone overcoming a disability and, you know, triumph over adversity, things like royal responsibility and then internal conflict and friendship, all this kind of thing, it just sounds like blah. Like I was actually hesitant about going to see it, but came out blown away. And that seems to be the case with a lot of audience members and evidently the Academy Awards as well.
I think the genius of the film and the way it's been presented and produced is that it draws from a context which is fairly dusty, sort of a historical sort of drama. King George VI.
Yes.
And his situation. And like films where someone might have an impediment, like Jeffrey Rush playing
David Helfgott, the pianist.
Mm. Yeah, it is really rich territory for personal struggles, and this one was genius in bringing out the depth of personal struggle that this person had to overcome and the friendship that helped him do it.
Yeah, and you actually quite like these guys, which makes a big difference, I think, when you go to see this sort of triumph over adversity, people relying on self movies, which also is quite indicative of Black Swan, is in as much as someone having to rely on themselves to get out of a situation. But unlike the King's Speech, Black Swan, Natalie Portman's character, this ballerina that's freaking out and losing her mind, is really quite hard to like. She's very frosty and very just kind of, you're just watching a woman disintegrate on screen, and you can feel sympathy for her when she goes through it. But the film is such a nightmarescape going through it. It's very hard to actually embrace her and want to kind of, you're spectating is what you're doing with Black Swan, as opposed to King's Speech, which I think really draws you in.
Interesting. Well, Natalie Portman's character then, her name escapes me, Nina,
that's right.
Yeah. She is pushed out of her cocoon that her mother keeps her in to try and get in contact with the passionate, wild black side of which she has to portray the Black Swan, of course. And it seems like because she hasn't got any security, because she hasn't got any foundation, this causes her to lose her mind and to disintegrate, really.
Yeah, that's right. You see that, you often see that in films, coming into it as a believer, having something of a foundation, a strong belief that God is in control and he's got a purpose for me. There's real meaning I can find in my life through God. And watching films, everything from Scott Pilgrim versus the World to Black Swan, even to 127 Hours, there's all these films that whenever people are coming up against issues of self or Social Network is a great example of this, which, while that is a significant portrait of our times as far as people being disconnected while we're in a really connected world, I understand all of that. But really, like, you look at the character of Mark Zuckerberg as a character in that film, and that guy had nothing going on for him, really. Like, as far as depicted in those 2 hours, he created the most successful internet franchise operation thing, social networking tool ever. But what has he got? Like, all he's got is just loneliness.
Well, that's the irony of it, isn't it? He's socially dysfunctional. He's so desiring to be connected, to be a part of a fraternity.
So a lot of these films, I think, are real cautionary tales. That you should, whether you embrace the film or not as a film, there's a lot to be taken from it. So whether it's Nina in Black Swan or Mark Zuckerberg in Social Network, and you might recoil from what they're actually doing, which I would say with those two films you would. But why are you recoiling? And why aren't you? Because, Mark Zuckerberg's a successful guy. Yeah. Like, he's a bazillionaire. But I didn't want to be him for a second.
Yeah, that's a great thought to perhaps wrap it up on and maybe come back to the King's Speech, which was probably one of the standouts that actually had so much that was so positive.
Yeah, and it did seem to have a bit of soul to it, wanting to improve, but not just for the fact that because they could or wanted to get successful or that they wanted to take over the world, all those kind of things. It didn't seem as selfish, as nihilistic, as hedonistic as a lot of other films can be. This film, I think, actually presented people that had a moral compass and clear definition about what they wanted to do.
That was film editor Ben McKechin. I hope you've enjoyed this series looking at the influence of the biggest films of the past year.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.